In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is Jay.
This is Mike.
And this week, it's been an interesting week, I will say that. Of course, I'm saying this because, as we discussed a little bit last week, we're incumbent upon the school year starting, the new school year with the online learning. Luckily for me, my kids aren't actually starting until one kid is starting next week on the 17th. The other two are starting on the 24th, so I have a little bit of time still for preparation because their schools are still working out all their programs.
Okay.
I think they were holding out hope that they would get the opportunity to do in-person education, and yeah, it just didn't work. So they're still figuring out all of their programs on how to do it.
Gotcha.
Got to go pick up the first of multiple Chromebooks that I'm going to be picking up for the kids to access their school stuff.
Nice. So okay. Well, at least is that school provided, or are you getting that on your own?
Legally, the school has to provide some kind of a method for your child to receive the online education.
Yeah.
For instance, if you don't have Wi-Fi, if you don't have internet, which is rare nowadays, but there are people that economically cannot afford to have internet, even they have it like on their phones, but that's about all that they have of it.
Right.
You can actually get help from the state and federal government to get internet right now so that your child can have education.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
But yeah, the schools have to offer it. And then specifically, I do want to add, if anybody's listening that have children with special needs, as part of the free and appropriate education that is legally necessary to be provided to your kids, if for some reason your special needs kids are not being offered Chromebooks, laptops, tablets, whatever they need to be able to connect to their teachers on a regular basis and to make it as consistent as possible for their education. By law, you have to be provided with the same type of technologies, the same type of assistance as what any kid is being provided with so that your child has access to free and appropriate public education.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's
part of the Americans with Disabilities laws that were put into place when it comes with the kids. They commonly refer to it as FAPE, F-A-P-E, and that's it has to be available to you to be able to get it. So just for anybody that may have that situation, the school districts do have to provide you a way for your student to get access to this distance learning education.
Nice.
Especially right now, if that's what's being demanded is distance learning, then they have to provide a way for you to connect to it.
Cool.
So,
all right.
Now admittedly, it still is a good idea I've learned in this last 6 months that, we had one laptop computer in our house. It was the only computer that we had, and we had bought it so that my wife could use it for a sewing machine that she had. You know, she has one of those sewing machines that can do embroidery.
Yeah.
And the way that it does embroidery is you hook it up to a computer. The computer has the pattern. Mm-hmm. And there's computer chips and whatnot in the sewing machine. So you pick the thing that you want to be embroidered. Mm-hmm. And you have multiple colored threads that you change out through. And it's on the computer. You click on it. The computer's connected to the sewing machine. Boom, the sewing machine does it.
Killer. Okay.
It follows the diagram for it. So we bought it with that. It was a cheap laptop refurbished kind of thing. We bought it with the idea in mind that, you know, we can put some music on our iPods, and she could work with the sewing machine. This last 6 months have taught me that we need more computing power here in our house because this computer had to be used to deal with a lot of when they were still trying to figure things out. They weren't last spring able to make sure that we had all the devices that we needed because they were figuring it out on the fly at that point in time.
Right, right.
And
that makes sense.
We had to make do. And now that it's being mandated in this different way, they're at least making sure that everybody's got what they need, which is good.
Good.
We need to do that. But yeah, that's been a little bit hectic, having to rearrange a few things in the house, get prepared for that.
Yeah.
We kind of knew it was coming anyway. Luckily I didn't have to worry about, getting the kids back on the normal school schedule, which is, you know, waking up like 2 hours earlier than we have been and having to get dressed every morning.
Oh,
we at least have to partially get dressed, but not fully get dressed. So there's that benefit. And believe me, that is a benefit. But yeah, other than that, I know that, again, we try not to be too political, but we did finally find out what the, political landscape is going to be for the presidential election.
Yeah.
We know now that, that Democratic, nominee, Biden has chosen Harris as his, running mate for vice president.
Yep.
So at least now everybody knows what our real choices are when it comes to president and vice president for the election coming in November. And I think that's good for everybody to have that knowledge, know who they're looking at so that they can make the decision. I'm going to say this, go out and vote and make your voice be heard.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you don't go out and vote and make your voice be heard, you haven't been a part of the process to try to move the country forward in whatever way it needs to go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's
the only way I can say it without getting too political and getting too much into views. I want to say more, but we try to keep it as easy as we can here.
Right. Well, we definitely in the middle of a lot of the pressure that's going on. Certain parts of the conversation I feel need to be had, but at the same time,
oh yes,
I feel like everybody needs a little escapism every once in a while.
And there's a few things that even with escapism, we can grab our little apple box and hop up on it and say our piece.
Yeah.
But there are some things that just, you know, if we don't have to say something about it, if it's not a pressing issue, we can decide whether to or not. But I at least wanted to point out the fact that we now have the landscape of what's going to happen in the election. We have the, we have the different setups. I will admit, that I am very, very interested. I don't know how it will happen, how they're going to do it, because I know, with the way the world is right now, debates are not necessarily going to be an easy thing to come across and to have happen. But I will admit, I would be very much looking forward to the vice presidential debate.
Because
seeing Harris and Pence have to debate each other, I don't care what your political viewpoint is, that's going to be an interesting show.
Oh, yes, very much.
That's going to be an interesting show.
Yeah.
And I try to say it as much as possible in that way. I'm keeping back my personal feelings about it, just saying that it's going to be interesting.
Well, I would say I would consider it akin to a celebrity boxing match, like in that –
If you want to say it was Mike Tyson versus Dustin Diamond, that kind of celebrity boxing match, that I see.
Well, we don't want to kill anybody now, but I'm thinking like, you know, even like, you know,
I think that's what's going to happen. But also I also am glad for the fact that I'm a fan of Saturday Night Live. I know you're a fan of Saturday Night
Very
Live.
Much so.
To an extent. To see Maya Rudolph be able to have good reason to be back when they do come back, I'm very excited for that. I love Maya Rudolph. I love most everything that she does. She is absolutely hilarious. I love the fact that most people don't realize that she's that her mother was an amazing singer, and in fact, one of her most famous songs is based on things she would sing to Maya as a baby. So I mean, there's that.
Wait, I have not looked up on her history. Who's her mother?
Hold on. I forget her name, but I think I know it, but I want to be sure that I have the right name.
Okay.
Because I've made this mistake before.
I know that Maya Rudolph sings. She actually does like a two-piece Prince tribute, and they're fantastic.
It's who I thought it was. Minnie Riperton.
Why do I know that name?
She's the one that sings the, oh God, I don't even want to attempt to try to sing the song.
Well, what's the name of the song?
I'm getting the information. It's got that that she had like a major vocal ability. She was in the one that did the whistle register first, one of the first.
Oh, before ones. Mariah Carey.
High head voice, occasionally whistle register.
Oh my! Wait,
one song. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Loving you.
Yes.
Oh, yes, wow.
Yes. That was the song that she actually sang to Maya as a baby. That's her mom. Yeah.
I did not know that. That's amazing. Yeah.
And then the super high note that I'm not even going to attempt because it'd be awful. No. And I don't want to hurt people. But yeah, that's her
mom. Now that I hear that song, the first thing that I think of is the scene from The Nutty Professor with Dave Chappelle, where he's playing the dumb comedian and he like cracks his wrist while he's holding him in a hold and playing like that song on piano. Have you ever seen that scene?
I don't remember that scene. I remember hearing the song, but I don't remember the scene.
Oh man, you've got to see that again.
I'm going to have to find it then.
Yeah, definitely, early 2000s half cringe crude humor, but worth watching again.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You can kind of skip all the clump scenes because they're just like it's just nothing but fart jokes for like 5 minutes straight. But if you skip those and you go into the I can't remember the name of the buddy something. Buddy Love. That's what it is. That's his name. Buddy Love.
It's when he's doing the Buddy Love.
Yeah, he's doing the Buddy Love thing. Yeah, it's great. That scene's ultimate payoff for that scene.
You know, I can say I probably saw that movie one time.
Yeah.
And it left such an impression on me that the only thing I remember, I don't even know if this is from the first one or the second one, because I remember half seeing both of them. I remember the second one, isn't that where it's like the whole Jedi Force Ghost and he's farting in space and moving?
Nope, that's not that one.
Huh?
I don't think that's that one. I think that's the next one.
I think it's second one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the only thing I remember from any of them is that, Hercules!
That's the only thing I remember. Oh, everybody remembers that one, for sure.
Yeah, because that's like the catchphrase from the movie. Otherwise, that movie was so bad that I remember none of it. Wasn't Janet Jackson in one of the two of them?
Janet Jackson, I think, is in the second one. Jada Pinkett is in the first one.
Oh, dear God.
But, dude, when... It's okay. So this is one of those movies where you get to watch Eddie Murphy ad lib, and this is one of the first like major ad lib films where it's like practically all ad lib comedy. And so the clump scenes are just, there's so much ad lib to them. I think they just ad lib the entire thing and then like put fart sounds in it and post. It was just dumb. But some of the things that he says at random, it just kills you. Especially the best part of them is the outtakes that they run during the end credits.
I'm going to say this.
Oh man,
you got to keep in mind that him doing those movies.
Yeah,
are what ended up giving us Norbit. I just want to say that
Norbit is amazing as a movie.
The only thing that's good about Norbit is Terry Crews. I love Terry Crews in that movie, but I like Terry Crews in almost every movie. Norbit is an awful film.
Oh, no, I thought Norbit was great, man.
No.
Oh, dude.
I would Norbit rather with, watch
Adventures of... Who were the two guys? It was Cat Williams and...
Okay, sorry. You're right. Cat Williams and Eddie Griffin, they are amazing in that, too.
Yes.
You are right. Okay. I will give you that. They are hilarious. Don't ever watch that, by the way, in an edited version, because half of their wedding interruption scene is completely gone.
Yeah.
Like the whole turn the condom inside out so it's ribbed for your pleasure, completely gone. But half of that scene is gone, and that scene is just amazing.
Yeah,
Eddie Griffin is just chewing scenery all over the place.
Oh yeah,
and Cat Williams is just. And I mean, if you watch any of his stand up, he's normally very animated and very vibrant.
Oh yeah,
and he's just straight faced through that entire thing, and it's like, this is brilliant. This is so funny. So okay, they're good, and Terry Crews is good because I like Terry Crews.
Oh yeah,
in literally everything that he does.
Yeah, for sure.
He's hilarious no matter what happens. But yeah, no, Norbit, no. I'd rather watch The Adventures of Pluto Nash. And I've seen recently.
God, Pluto Nash was horrible.
When was the last time you watched it?
Pluto Nash?
Yes.
It's been 15 years, I think. I think I watched it on like it was on cable back in the day.
Yeah.
I watched it about eight months ago. Okay.
Now, I watched it about 8 months ago, and actually what's funny is watching it now, I can see what they were trying to do.
Okay.
And it's literally one step away from being a really good movie.
Okay.
It's got so many great elements to it. It's just like it needed just a little bit more of something. I'm not sure what, but it needed a little bit more of something, and it would have been a great movie.
Interesting.
It's actually quite a fun film to watch.
Okay.
And the thing is, I can understand why it bombed, but I also can see that there are moments that if there's just some slight tweaking of things, it could have been I think it could have been on the level of where we put a movie like The Fifth Element.
Really?
And I'm going out on a limb heavy saying that, but I honestly think it could be on that. You watch Fifth Element now, there's a few things that are a little bit hokey and funny about it.
Oh, for sure.
That back when it came out, it was like, oh my God, this is such amazing sci-fi movie. It's going to change the way we look at sci-fi.
Yeah.
I can see putting Adventures of Pluto Nash within a similar, the name itself already makes it bad, but I could see that could be in a similar kind of hall of kitschy science fiction movies if there were just a few little changes. I also believe that if there were a few minor changes to The Fifth Element, it would be a joke of a movie that nobody pays attention to anymore. I mean, if you look at Luc Besson's career, he has those movies where like one is a science fiction epic and one is like, why the hell did he make this thing? What was going on with him? And I think it's just one or two moments that maybe make the difference in those things.
Okay.
And so, sometimes those moments happen, sometimes they don't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
I think that Pluto Nash is literally a step or two away from being not a perfect, but definitely a kitschy sci-fi classic. And
sure.
I would challenge anybody to take a rewatch or even a first time watch if you've never seen it with our modern feelings and our modern aesthetics. Watch it and see. Maybe it's a casting thing. Maybe Randy Quaid is the wrong person to be cast as an android, but maybe he's the right person to be cast as an android, and it's actually kind of funny. It actually works.
Okay.
I mean, there's bits in there that it's like, maybe they could have done this different, or maybe people weren't ready for this. Maybe it makes perfect sense now. Like as I'm watching the android in it, it reminds me of the robot in Rogue One a little bit, some of the sarcasm and some of the responses. And that, I mean, Alan Tudyk basically did the voice and did some motion capture for that robot, but that robot's considered one of the best robots in Star Wars history.
Really?
So,
wow.
The robot, did you see Rogue One? You saw that, right?
Yes. Yes. I didn't realize that was Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, K2SS1, I think.
Wasn't he also was? I may be mistaken here. Alan Tudyk, Steve the Pirate, right from Dodgeball.
Yes.
Okay, and he was in Firefly, and wasn't Alan Tudyk? Wasn't he also in? Was it iRobot? Is that him?
I believe Alan Tudyk is the robot in iRobot.
Okay.
He does a lot of voice work. He was in Frozen. He was the Duke of Wesselton. He was in Wreck-It Ralph. He was King Candy.
Oh, that's great.
He does a whole lot of voice work, and then he does a lot of acting where he's doing motion capture and then the voice work afterwards. He does a lot of stuff like that. He's actually one of my favorite actors because of the kind of range of things that he's willing to do and the voices that he's willing to do. He's amazing. And in fact, I love his work in Wreck-It Ralph, one of my favorite movies. I like Sarah Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
So she's hilarious now. I love John C. Reilly.
Yes.
What's his name? The guy who plays the builder.
Fixer Felix?
Jack McBryer. Yeah, Jack McBryer. I love him.
That is Jack McBryer. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it is Jack McBryer.
Yeah.
And then Oh God, I feel terrible because I can't think of her name. The Jane Lynch. I love Jane Lynch and almost everything she does.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to see some really interesting, because most people know Jane Lynch from Glee, from her portrayal in Glee of Sue Sylvester.
Yes.
If anybody wants to see some real difference in acting capability, watch her as Sue Sylvester, and then go back and watch episodes of Criminal Minds. The TV show Criminal Minds.
Really?
Are you familiar with Criminal Minds?
I'm familiar with Criminal Minds. I didn't know Jane Lynch was in it at any point.
Okay. Well, yes, she is. The character Spencer Reed, the young genius kid, right? Or genius guy.
Uh-huh.
She plays his mom.
Oh my God.
Who has schizophrenia.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And she's in a,
that's some chops, dude.
Yeah, she's in a specialized living facility in Las Vegas, because that's where he grew up.
Oh man,
with schizophrenia, and there's a lot of things that happen, multiple storylines with his mom, where there's things that happen and things that are an issue with her schizophrenia, and it's a totally different characterization in that than in anything else she's ever done.
That's amazing,
and it's. Oh, it is, because it shows a real down-to-earth actor playing a really dramatic part, and so very good. And she did that before she did Glee initially. So, she was a comedic actor, but hey, you take the roles you can get, and then you knock them out of the park, and she did.
Right.
But all those are great actors to begin with from Wreck-It Ralph, and all those do a great job with their voice acting. But Alan Tudyk is actually doing an impersonation of old famous actor Ed Wynn. Now, I don't know how much Ed Wynn you know, but I know the one movie that you would know Ed Wynn from.
Okay.
The original Mary Poppins, the Julie Andrews Mary Poppins.
Oh.
You remember they go visit that guy where he's floating in the air with his table and they all start floating with him?
Boy, it's been a long time, vaguely.
Okay. When you go back and see Mary Poppins again, see that scene again, that's Ed Wynn.
Okay.
Ed Wynn was also the voice of the Mad Hatter in the original animated Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, now you've got me. Now I know who Ed Wynn is. Yep.
So when you're listening to Alan Tudyk in Wreck-It Ralph doing King Candy's voice, he is doing an impersonation of Ed Wynn.
Oh, wow. The voice. Oh, that's amazing.
It's beautiful and amazingly spot on, and that, because that voice is so distinctive.
Yeah.
One thing Disney got right when they did a lot of their older movies is regardless of all the other things that Disney got wrong, the anti-Semitism, the sexism, we could go on and on about things that Disney didn't do right. The one thing he did do right when it came to his animated movies was he got some stellar voice actors.
Yeah.
Some voice actors that you just need to hear a moment of their voice and you automatically know that it's the specific voice actor. And you can think of all of the characters that they played, and they played multiple characters.
Yeah.
And so to have those amazing actors, great thing to have. But then to have Alan Tudyk doing an Ed Wynn impersonation, who was very well known for his distinctive voice. Beautiful. Yeah. Amazing. Love it.
That's awesome.
How did we get on Alan Tudyk?
We were talking about sci-fi movies, kind of. Like, we went from Eddie Murphy to Pluto Nash to different sci-fi stuff.
And it was all started by Maya Tudyk, Rudolph. And it was all started by Maya Rudolph and her mom, Minnie Riperton.
Yeah.
So see the holes, the rabbit holes that you can go down when you start thinking about these things.
Oh, yeah.
When you're dealing with two people who have watched way too many movies.
It's almost like Wikipedia with less fact checking. Well, there's still fact checking.
I do my fact checking. Thank you very much. I was fact checking who the heck Maya Rudolph's mom was so that I didn't blurt out the name and be wrong.
I'm afraid. Okay. So I'm using my computer as the recording apparatus and I'm not touching it until this whole thing is over to make sure that it's good. So I'm not doing a damn thing with it. And so I cannot fact check because my system set up right now is, we're listening to James through the phone, and the phone is hooked to one of my inputs, and then my computer's running and recording my microphone. So I don't want to touch anything. I can't do any of this. So that's when I say without fact checking, it's without it on my end. So I have to be extremely careful.
Is it inappropriate for me to say, can you hear me now?
Well, I mean, I have
to just go over people's head.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how far removed we are from that. I know I have Metro. I have no idea, but,
I think I have, Xfinity. No, by the way, we are not promoting either one of those products.
We are not endorsed by or get free from any of that.
We would be willing possibly to endorse either one of those products if they wanted to work out some kind of a deal with us. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Please?
Booty shake. But, you know, whatever. But no, we're just speaking of the facts of things at this point.
Yeah, it's just, hey, people use things. We, just like everybody else, pay to use those things. That is all.
People do use things, yes. Thank you for making sure that we all knew that.
Well, were those statements true? Don't have to fact check that, do you now?
Oh, dear God, this is devolving fast. This is when you wish you had done a little bit more more prep work instead of prepping for your kids to go to school.
What is this one? This is what happens when we don't do our homework. Part two.
Is it part two? I mean, we've done this multiple times, but I don't think we've titled it that way. Other than this time, I know I have something good for the second half. Is that helpful?
Yeah,
I don't know how long it will take in the second half, but maybe that's a good thing because we have a tendency to get a little long-winded in the second half.
I was going to say,
we cut the first half usually pretty good. Oh, wait! I have another newsworthy thing to talk about. I don't know if you heard because I know you don't necessarily have your finger on the pulse of the sports world.
No,
which is that's not an insult.
No. It's just a statement of fact. I understand completely. Yeah.
The major conferences in college football, because college football is broken up into major conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, that's all that I know because I'm not big on college football.
Right.
I only watch it when I hear that my team might be interested in drafting somebody that's on, in college football in the next year's draft. And then I'll watch that person's games to see how they're doing, to see if, that seems like an interesting thing to me that my team might pick them.
Understood.
But at least one, at the last that I had heard today, possibly more of the conferences in college football have decided that there will be no fall sports at all, which means that college football will not be happening in the fall.
Whoa. I mean, good. Yeah. I consider it to be good at this point. We are not in a state to make something like that happen. I don't think that's okay to even think that it's appropriate to do. We've had a lot of backlash and a lot of, well, not just backlash, but I don't mean backlash. I mean, the consequences have been far reaching and they have been blatantly obvious for those established sports franchises right now that have made the attempt.
Well, yeah, we talked about the Marlins last week. Baseball is having issues with figuring out how to do the rest of its schedule and its playoff schedule. And even football, which has started some of its operations. Football, I think, is going about it the best way possible.
Uh-huh.
But
basketball's having its problems too, isn't it?
I don't know if basketball's having its problems. I thought I heard something, but... That's one that I don't pay a lot of attention to. Sorry, I never have. Even though it's the only one I actually played in high school. If you can imagine that I played basketball in high school. Keep in mind, for anybody who doesn't know me, has just seen the profile pics or anything, I am 5'6". And I was the starting forward for our team. Because we only had 7 players on the team.
What?
So when you only have 7 players on the team, a 5'6" guy is your starting forward.
Okay.
I went to a small school, bro.
Yeah,
there
you did.
50 kids in my, there were 50 kids in my whole high school. So the fact that we got 7 people that actually wanted to play basketball was a damn miracle. It was the only year my school ever had a basketball team. And we were god-awful.
What?
But hey, we got to play basketball for a year.
Their starting forward was 5'6". I mean, yeah, that you're going to have a lot of problems.
Actually, I was really good at rebounding. I wasn't necessarily very good at getting shots in because everybody was too tall for me to shoot, but I was really good at rebounding because all I needed to do was get under the basket, and I have low center of gravity compared to whoever I was defending against. So I would literally just lean into them and push them out of the way, and the ball would just fall in front of me. I wouldn't even have to jump for the ball. It would just fall in front of me. I would get it.
Understood.
I mean, it just worked out that they couldn't reach over me. I'd just be able to box them out completely.
Yeah.
And again, low center of gravity. I was digging my hips into them, and I was hitting them at like mid thigh. And so they had no way of defending against them. They were expecting somebody to like have their hips up in like their hip area and their midsection maybe. No, I was hitting them mid thigh, maybe right above the knee. They're like, what the hell is going on here? We can't jump over this guy. I can't extend my knee past him.
That's great.
I'm gonna knee him in the ass and knock him over. And then it's a foul.
It's like,
and then I wouldn't do anything with the foul because I'm not that good. I was better than the two guys that weren't the starters. So there's that.
Right.
But anyway, but yeah. So to hear that college is shutting down its sports programs, all of its sports programs, for the fall, and especially college football, this puts a whole new wrinkle in the NFL draft, because now you have players who are going into their last year of eligibility for football. They're talking about maybe being able to play all of the fall sports in the spring, but the draft happens in the spring. You have all these people going to their last year of eligibility that were going to be declaring for the draft next year. You have people that could have declared for the draft last year but wanted to hold off for one more year. What the heck's going to happen now? So this puts the whole football world, which is the only sports world I really pay a lot of attention to,
right.
It puts the whole thing up in kind of the air of what's going to happen. And this is the continuing result of – there are so many things that we just expect to happen because it's tradition that they happen a certain way. This always happens this way. Well, first of all, not always, maybe for the last 100 years on some things, but literally not always do these things happen. But sometimes we have to subvert our traditions and realize the world has moved on to a different place and we have to do things in a different fashion. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, another fun thing that sci-fi thing too. We can go back to that kind of thing. A fun article I read about a renaming of the Star Wars movies.
Interesting. Okay. About
this already?
No.
Yeah, using the original names, just swapping them around a little bit.
Okay.
And this guy apparently did it, and it's actually kind of good.
That sounds great.
So we'll talk about that after the break.
Sounds good. Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back.
Hey.
I do want to let people know there were some technical difficulties that Mike had to work his way through. He did an astonishing job to get us back going. Apparently things weren't working the way he wanted it to work, but he got it working again.
Got it working.
So
we're okay. Yeah, we're okay.
We're all good. Which is, I mean, hey, this is kind of the nature of the beast when we're trying to do this from two completely separate locations and make sure that we have, and without any, sponsorship or funding. Metro or anybody else that might want to fund us at some point or another. I'm trying to throw things out that would be that we'd want gear from. I mean stuff from I don't know. I think of food places. That's the first place my mind goes is like no, I'm literally the guy that
it's
would
really
like,
nice if we could get a new recording computer from Taco Bell.
I'm the guy that would be like, if we were, let's say we were in some kind of professional venture together, right? Let's say, well, this one works for you because you've been in multiple bands.
Yeah.
You're in bands currently.
Yeah.
Or at least a band currently. I don't know how many at this point, whatever. Point being, you've been in that situation.
Yeah.
I would be the person that you'd want to be very careful having negotiate any of the endorsement stuff. Because, like, you'd have you know, amplifier companies and guitar companies and string companies and all these things coming up, drum companies coming up and talking about endorsement. I'd be like, okay, cool. Oh, you give me this, you give me that. We have to, you know, just use your stuff and be in ads and put your stickers on things and whatnot. Okay, whatever. And, like, you'd be geeking out about it, whatever other members of the band be geeking out about it. But, like, a food place would show up and be like, we'll give you a card that gets you one free meal a day. Got it. Doing it now. And you'd be like, wait, what about the money part? We need money too. No, we're getting food. They're giving, like Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore, the card for free Subway for life.
Yes.
Hell to the yes. The money part would be like, they said something about money. I don't care. I get free Subway every day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Dude, it's not just about the free Subway. Yeah, but it is though. Because my thought is, even when they're not paying me money anymore, I still have free Subway for life.
Well, that's the thing, is you're getting free food.
Do it.
Yeah. You're getting free food at this point. When do you have to pay for a meal?
Yeah, free food is that's, I used to tell people that if they needed help, this is back when I was, you know, 100 pounds lighter and about 20 years younger and could actually physically do things. I would tell people, hey, if you ever need help moving, you just let me know. I don't mind helping people move. The only thing I ask is that you feed me.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, feed me great. Just feed me.
Yeah.
If you make sure that I have food throughout the day, I will help you. And I'm not the guy that, like, will just sit and eat food all day. Just at appropriate times, give me meals so that my body gets fuel. But, like, and meals can be, you know, sandwiches, just as simple as sandwiches. Sandwiches are amazing food. It's like the best food ever. So give me sandwiches and I'll help you move all day. I'll spend 9 hours helping you move as long as I'm fed throughout those 9 hours at somewhat regular intervals. And
right.
You don't have to pay me. You don't have to do anything else. Just give me food. And so I'm a simple guy in that. I can't do it anymore because my body won't allow it. And I also hate moving now. Like, I really, really hate it. I helped a family move from Northern California to about, I'd say, 60, 70 miles north of Dallas in Texas.
Ooh.
And I drove
that's a long trip.
Yeah, I drove the 30-foot moving truck the whole way. To Texas. Yeah.
No.
I was the only person who could drive. That's why they hired me. They hired me and they actually paid me to do it.
I mean, that's good.
Not really, because they hired me to do it. They paid, gave me money to drive out there to do it. They paid obviously for the moving truck and for the gas. I was just there to do the driving and the lifting and whatnot.
Right.
But then to get me home, instead of paying an extra $50 for me to have a plane ticket home, they bought me a bus ticket home, and it was 3 days on a Greyhound. That was awful.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Absolutely awful. But the trip was quite interesting. There's a few interesting things on the road. A freak hailstorm as we were climbing mountains that wow. literally lasted. We literally drove through the clouds of the hailstorm and came out on top of the hailstorm.
Wow.
It was the weirdest damn thing ever. But yeah, after that move, we made it there. We drove over 2 days to get there. We left Needles, California which is right near the border. We left at 6 o'clock in the morning and we made it to our destination at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I drove for 20 hours straight, basically.
Dang.
My body was never the same after that. I'm not even sure if my mind was the same after that, but my body sure wasn't. And then on top of that, a 3 hour, or three, 3 hour, 3 day bus ride home. I don't think I ever fully recovered from that trip.
God, the whole thing sounds terrible.
And so, yeah, and I don't feel like I got paid enough for what I went through with that trip. It was like a 5 day trip and it was, yeah, craziness. But anyway, I used to be before that time, all it took was a simple sandwich to make me help with moving. So yeah, I would be the wrong guy to get our endorsements because I just want free food. I'll talk about whatever's necessary if somebody's going to give me free food and monetary things to buy, like you say, better recording computers, better equipment. That would probably be the smarter thing to do, but sadly, I am driven much more by my stomach.
I can understand that.
Yeah. But anyway, so again, anybody that ever wants to do any sponsoring for us, any kind of money our way, you can try talking to me, but I'm going to send you to Mike so that we can get what we need. But I'm still interested in the idea of free food. Now, on to sci-fi stuff. Like I said before the break, I have something that's kind of a sci-fi thing, the Star Wars movies.
Okay.
That it was an article I read over the week. This Star Wars fan, which, I mean, I'm glad there are as many of us as there are. I'm not angry about the fact that our Star Wars fan ranks kind of swell each year. It's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
He decided that the current names for the Star Wars movies were appropriate for all 9 of the movies, but just not for the movies that they are currently the title of. So all 9 titles, right? All the same 9 titles that we have for these movies, for these Star Wars movies.
Okay.
For the Skywalker saga, right?
Right.
For the Skywalker saga. Keep the titles, but they don't belong to the movies that they are currently assigned to. He believes that they should be shifted to different movies.
Okay. All right, you're going to have to lay it on me here because, yeah. Oh, yeah, please do.
So, okay.
Like, let me know the reason. You were saying that the reason for it was.
So, yeah. There's reasons for it. So, we'll start at the beginning with the first movie. Okay, and not the first movie, the first movie chronologically in Star Wars history, not the first movie that came out. Okay? So,
right.
We're going to start with episode 1.
Okay.
Episode 1 is currently titled, or is titled, because this will never be changed. Obviously, the movies are titled what they're titled.
Yeah.
This is just this one fan's vision of what they should be titled.
Okay.
With the given names and how it would actually be so much more appropriate.
Okay.
So episode 1 is
The Phantom Menace.
Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, right? The Phantom Menace. We know this.
Yes.
He postulates that it should be episode 1, The Rise of Skywalker. Because it is in episode 1 that we actually initially meet the first Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker, and you can see the start of maybe his rise. The rise of Skywalker coming into the galactic consciousness. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that makes sense, right?
Right. I can. Okay. I'm down on this. This. You're definitely piquing my interest here. For
okay.
Sure.
The next two, I don't completely agree with him, but I can see where he's coming from. The next one, episode 2, is currently the Attack of the Clones, right?
Right.
And while at the very end of episode 2, you have the first battle of the Clone War,
right.
The first battle of Geonosis, and I say first battle of Geonosis because there's actually multiple battles of Geonosis within the Clone Wars.
Right.
So you have the first battle of Geonosis, but he postulates again, I love using the word postulates, this gives me the opportunity to use it multiple times.
Right.
That episode 2 should actually be the one called Revenge of the Sith, because it is the machinations of Palpatine that the beginning of their fruition, it's not the end of it, but the beginning of it starts in this, and the plot of revenge truly starts. He gets made Supreme Chancellor, he actually was made Supreme Chancellor in episode 1, sorry. He gets the executive powers to start the war. He has this clone army, and the Clone War starts, which is the Clone War in itself is the beginning of the revenge.
Okay, so far, we have episode 1, which is titled The Rise of Skywalker, and then episode 2 is Revenge of the Sith?
Yes.
Okay.
Episode 3 would be Attack of the Clones. And his reasoning for that is because in episode 3 is when you have the clones turning on the Jedi and wiping out the Jedi, which was originally the idea of that's the Revenge of the Sith when the Jedi are wiped out.
Right.
But in some ways it makes more sense for that to be the Attack of the Clones.
Okay, okay.
And the ending of the Clone War. But the fact that it's when the clones turn on the Jedi and attack the Jedi in what has been called the perfect Jedi trap, you spread them out thinly all over the galaxy.
Right.
And then you have them working with basically soldiers that operate almost as automatons. You have the chip in the soldiers' heads that when they hear the Order 66, they automatically respond to it. And the Jedi have come to trust their clones so much that they don't see the attack coming from them. And that's why
the Jedi was
almost completely destroyed.
Yeah.
That's the great Jedi trap, which again, originally was the idea of it being, of that movie being titled Revenge of the Sith. That's the revenge the Sith get is wiping out the Jedi.
Right.
But at the same time, I can see the idea of it being Attack of the Clones. Like I said, these are the two, and they just flip-flopped. This guy just flip-flopped the titles of 2 and 3.
Right.
These are the two that I don't fully agree with him on. I can see what his reasoning is, but I can also see that it may not have been necessary. And those are the only two that you can really flip-flop that way.
Right,
That could possibly go backwards and forwards, because it is questionable.
Yeah, for sure.
So, episode 4, Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Because this is when you see Obi-Wan come back.
He returns. The Jedi, the one Jedi that's left, basically. I mean, you still have Yoda, but...
And then the one in training is starting to come back. And
right.
At the end, he uses the Force to destroy the Death Star. So the
yes.
Jedi are returning.
Yes. Okay, I get that.
Now, I would disagree with it. Again, I'm going to disagree with him on this one and the next one, because he says the next one is the episode 5 should be The Force Awakens. And I almost say that should be backwards. I think maybe The Force should awaken in episode 4 and the Return of the Jedi when Luke does his training and finally confronts Darth Vader for the first time. That's when the Jedi return. But
yes.
Again, I can see the argument either direction. The Force is awakening within Luke in Empire, or in what was originally Empire Episode 5.
Right.
And he's beginning to have his new powers and, you know, whatever. I get that. Other than the fact that, like, in Episode 7, which is the original Force Awakens, or is the Force Awakens, there's actually a line about there's been an awakening. Can you feel it? Whatever. Point being.
Right.
Point being, I think those ones are interchangeable, but I get where he's saying in both of them. Return of the Jedi for episode 4, Force Awakens for episode 5. Episode 6, originally Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It should be retitled The Last Jedi, which actually I totally agree with. I think this is one of the more perfect ones, just like The Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
I think it's perfect that this is The Last Jedi, because at this point,
Luke is The Last Jedi. Right. Okay.
Now, you get into the new ones. Episode 7.
Right.
This one being The Empire Strikes Back.
That's where I'm confused, because the Empire is gone, right?
And it's called the New Order now, isn't it? It's the First Order.
And
that's the idea. The idea of it striking back is the First Order is the strike back of the Empire. Which actually, I think, does make a bit of sense.
Okay.
Because the First Order rose from the ashes of the Empire.
Right.
So this is the Empire striking back.
Okay. That's understandable.
It's a new attempt at a new Empire.
Yeah.
Episode 8, A New Hope. This New Hope being in reference to Rey as the New Hope. Because this is when she starts kind of her Jedi training. Right?
Right.
She becomes the New Hope, especially at the end when she kind of saves everybody from the cave-in and moves the rocks and saves people.
Right.
She becomes the New Hope. And Luke sacrifices himself for the New Hope to be able to go on.
So yes.
Again, New Hope in the galaxy makes sense.
Yes.
And then, of course, the final one being the episode 9, that one being titled The Phantom Menace on account of...
Wow.
The Emperor having come back to life and having been, never having completely died, but having been behind the entire things that were happening through 7 and 8, he's the Phantom Menace that, you know, they find out about.
Okay.
Which is funny, because he was behind the scenes in the first one. And so, while these do make sense, and they are actually really good titles,
yeah,
I honestly don't think that it's a necessity to change the titles. And again, it's a good move around, but I think The Phantom Menace works very well as the title of the original.
Yeah.
I think Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith work good. To be completely honest, I like A New Hope, because it talks about Luke being
yeah.
A New Hope. The Empire Strikes Back. The Empire wins at the end of Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
So it's appropriate. It starts with them attacking a rebel base. So
right.
It's appropriate. Return of the Jedi, I think, works because it's at that point that he truly becomes a Jedi Knight and
yes.
declares himself a Jedi Knight.
The yes.
Jedi have returned. Now, With the new ones, we get a little more tricky. The new ones, I like two of the new names. I think I would have liked all three of them if they had done things a little differently.
Okay. How so?
Here's the thing. I like The Force Awakens. I like that as a title, and I like it for the seventh movie. I think that's an appropriate title.
Right.
I like The Last Jedi.
Okay.
As a title. I don't like The Rise of Skywalker as a title. Because right. I don't think it's appropriate with the way they handled their movie. We had had the discussion before about The Rise of Skywalker right. during our prediction section, and I postulated the idea. There we go again. Of the term Skywalker becoming the term for the New Age Jedi,
yes.
where they didn't follow all the Jedi teachings,
yes.
almost like a gray Jedi type thing. And if that's what they had made happen, if that's what it had become, that a Skywalker suddenly became the term for the new Force users and wielders, and it was explicitly yeah. understood, then I would have been okay with it, because we see a changeover away from the Sith, away from the Jedi. You have the Revenge of the Sith, the Return of the Jedi, the Rise of Skywalker.
Right.
And it should be the Rise of the Skywalker. And then you have this new, based on this very small sample size of family that mm-hmm. were Force sensitive, literally mm-hmm. a dad and his two kids that were Force sensitive, dad, two kids, and his grandson that, you know, all died.
Yeah.
All of them died.
Yeah.
That were all Force sensitive. And so the name Skywalker becomes the new name for the Force users and Force wielders that walk a path of balance between the light and the dark. This would be if that had been done and they had thrown in the word Rise of the Skywalker, then it is a completely genius work. And anybody that thinks otherwise, I just wouldn't argue with, because those aren't people you want to talk to. That would have been the best way for it to end. The fact that it is her taking on the name of Skywalker at the end.
Yeah.
She takes on the name, but she doesn't make it something that that becomes an explicit thing of I'm starting a new way, a new version, a new whatever, and we're going to call ourselves this. And there's a way that can be done without being too much exposition, too much, you know, blatant story stuff. That the thing is, in retrospect, I love The Last Jedi in the fact that it talks about, as much, for all those reasons people hate that movie, I love it because Luke has realized throughout his time of trying to do things, he's realized and learned the Jedi were wrong. The Jedi allowed the Sith to come back. They helped to set the things up because they were so stuck in their ways. They were so bound by their stupid traditional ways mm-hmm. of doing things. And not realizing that the universe had moved on and some of the traditions needed to die. They needed to end. And the Jedi needed to go away as well.
Yeah.
Because their way of handling things was not appropriate. The greatest Jedi that had ever lived was the one that had followed the code in some ways the very least, at least the written code. Instead, he followed the way of the living force. That would be Qui-Gon Jinn. He was the Jedi that actually learned how to become immortal, not in flesh,
right.
but in his force presence, and taught Yoda and Obi-Wan how to become immortal through their force presence and be able to project force ghosts that could actually physically affect reality through the force.
Yeah.
He taught them that with having a connection to the living force, not so much the cosmic force, not so much the rules and the regulations and all of that. And he was at odds with the Jedi Council because he didn't follow the rules and the regulations in that way. Obi-Wan comments in the movies that he could have been a master and on the council already if it wasn't for some of the things that he did.
Right.
Yet Qui-Gon felt that he needed to listen to what the Force was trying to say to him and tell him to do more than he needed to listen to the rules, the regulations, the codes. I don't know if we had the discussion before on the podcast. If we did, for people listening, I'm sorry to go over it again. But Dave Filoni, who is like the guy in charge of almost all the animated Star Wars stuff, Rebels,
yeah,
the oh gosh, the Clone Wars TV series. This guy's like in charge of all of it. He's also had also did a great deal with The Mandalorian. He was a lot of input, and basically Lucas told him everything. So when it comes to a question of Star Wars lore, Dave Filoni is the Star Wars lore guy, and it was explained to him that the Duel of the Fates music and the title Duel of the Fates and the music, which is the music for anybody that doesn't know, that is playing over the it's the soundtrack that's playing while Qui-Gon has the epic battle with Darth Maul and Obi-Wan is involved.
Yep.
The idea of it being the Duel of the Fates, it is about the fate of Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
And whoever wins will decide the fate of the Chosen One. And right. Anakin was the Chosen One.
Right.
But whoever wins will decide his fate. And the fact, and it's not about whoever wins overall in the battle, but whoever wins between Qui-Gon and between Darth Maul. Qui-Gon and Darth Maul. Obi-Wan, while a great Jedi, was not the right person to train Anakin to be a Jedi. He did not have the ability to listen to the cosmic force, the living force, in the way that Qui-Gon did as a younger person.
Yes.
He had to learn from Qui-Gon after the Clone Wars, after all the horror that he saw. He had to learn later, as he was watching Luke grow up, how to connect to the living force in that way.
Yeah.
And so while Obi-Wan was an amazing fighter, he was a master of his specific lightsaber discipline. I think he was lightsaber discipline 3, which is focused on like deflecting blaster bolts. The only reason why he was able to defeat a four-armed robot that was trained in lightsaber combat is because his fighting style was specifically based on deflecting, being in the middle of a bunch of people shooting blasters at you and deflecting all of it, not letting it hit you, so he could deflect 4 different lightsabers at a time. Seriously, they actually cover this in the books. If you read the novelizations, they actually cover this stuff.
And this is consistent?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's consistent throughout the novels. I think it's Sureshu, I think, is the name of the style that
I remember you telling me about this.
He uses.
Because I told you about the fan shot, the fan made reshoot of Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader, and you said it looks fantastic, it's super fun, but it's not accurate. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, his lightsaber style, it's wrong. He wouldn't fight like that.
Yeah, he's not fighting in it. Sureshu is much more of a defensive style.
Yeah, and he was aggressive.
You use defense to and they even in the Clone Wars TV series, they have him be a little more aggressive than normal. But when you see him and Anakin, when you actually have him and Anakin fighting a bad guy together, especially like Savage Opress, who was he was Darth Maul's brother. That's all I should have to say.
Okay.
And yes, Darth Maul had a brother. When they fight Savage Opress, you can see that Anakin's fighting style is much more of an attacking fighting style, whereas Obi-Wan's is much more of a defensive style. And they actually work, when they are working together, they're really good at working together, because Anakin will aggress the person towards Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan will use his defense to lure him in and then be able to counterattack him. It actually works really well.
Interesting. Okay.
You wouldn't think, sadly, as geeky as it sounds, there's enough of that attention in there to those details. it's like Yoda's specific style is based on using a lot of physical movement, including leaping and jumping.
Yes.
And that's to make up for his short stature.
Right.
The style that Mace Windu uses actually borders on using dark side abilities, because it's a very strong attack style. Where it's bordering on dark side styles of fighting. He's the only person the only Jedi to have ever mastered it, because it borders so much on the dark side, and he's able to use it but not get carried away by the dark side. And if you watch any of the read any of the novelizations or watch any of the Clone Wars stuff, Mace Windu is just like, he just takes things down without even a second thought. There's almost nothing that is a hampering to him. And it's a little bit of a disservice when you see the fight between him and Palpatine. If you've seen any of the the special features, you know, that they're originally going to have a stunt guy work, two stunt guys doing the battle between Palpatine and Mace Windu,
mm-hmm.
in episode three, right. And they couldn't get the stunt guys on the day. So they had Samuel Jackson and Ian McDiarmid actually do the fight themselves.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, well, it's cool, but it's limited in the sense that both were kind of older guys,
right,
with not necessarily the best range of motion.
Right.
And so the fight was limited in scope, because if you, again, you go to the Clone Wars animated series, and or even the fight between the Emperor and Yoda, that's a fight that's jumping all over the place and moving around, because they were able to CGI that.
Yeah.
But if you go like the Clone Wars series, Palpatine takes on Darth Maul and his brother Savage Opress in a fight together and kills Savage Opress and brutally injures Darth Maul. Darth Maul survives, but he's just unstoppable in that fight. And again, with animated stuff, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Right.
But the implication is that even after having this is before the Force Lightning is pushed back on him, I think. Regardless, Palpatine was a badass fighter. He would delve deep into the dark side of the Force, and he could do anything. Nobody was going to outmaneuver him and outfight him. And he fought with two lightsabers most of the time.
Wow.
One each hand. So, I mean, yeah, he was supposed to be a badass. Oh. But the idea, I guess, was that there were the fight wasn't as big and ostentatious, because they were focusing their force energies to try to stop each other, I guess. I don't know, whatever you want to use.
Yeah.
Reasoning. But anyway, yeah, so much involved in it. I'm shocked that I know as many of these things as I know. But anyway, so the Duel of the Fates, yeah, that was supposed to be about, that's directly about Qui-Gon and Darth Maul's fight, and the fact that if Qui-Gon loses this fight, the proper teacher for Anakin won't be there, with Qui-Gon having been maybe the proper teacher. Maybe that's the Force has been telling him. This is why he, and you think about it, he's the one that finds the Chosen One. He's the one that that walks into that specific shop and finds the Chosen One. It's almost as if the Force led him there. He was the one that was led to be the teacher of Anakin.
Right.
And because he wasn't, because he died and wasn't able to teach him, the Force's will was not done the way it wanted to be. And so it had to come about through. And admittedly, Anakin does balance the Force. He completes his task. He brings balance to the Force. And in fact, it's even referenced in The Rise of Skywalker, when Rey is hearing the voices of the Jedi past, Anakin's voice says, "Bring back the balance like I did." So he does balance the Force, but the balance isn't going to stay balanced forever. Nothing stays balanced forever.
Right.
It does get out of balance again, and sometimes it's necessary for something to bring the balance. It had gotten so far out of balance by the time that Anakin was born that the Force very likely willed him into existence because the balance was necessary. The Jedi had grown powerful and complacent over all the years, and the Sith had grown powerful in hiding in the shadows. And so the balance was needed. Anakin was needed to be there to do it. And again, he did it. He achieved his goal. He set out what he needed to do as the Chosen One. It just took him a lot longer way to get there than it probably would have if he had had the right teacher, if Qui-Gon had been his teacher from the beginning. But to know that was Duel of the Fates, you just think it's, you know, the first time you're supposedly seeing good versus bad. No.
Right.
This is the duel of the fate of Anakin's soul.
Wow.
And the thing is, it seems like it's a victory at the end, because Obi-Wan defeats Darth Maul. Doesn't
right,
kill him,
but
obviously.
It's not.
But it's actually not.
It's not.
It is actually a loss. It's not a win.
Yeah, it's Anakin loses. I believe everybody loses at this point too, because if Qui-Gon was there to kind of help guide everything, the Jedi Council, the acts of the government, the coup, everything else would have been. It would have changed that entire situation for the next two films.
Would Qui-Gon have gone along with the Jedi, working with the clone army? How would that have happened? How would that
exactly? Have he would have spoken Qui-Gon out against it immediately.
Yeah, he would have been a voice of dissent against it.
Yeah.
So many things that would have been different with the loss, you know, without the loss of Qui-Gon, and then again, Anakin would have had a teacher that could have understood him better,
right?
And been maybe more able to help him deal with his problems of anger,
yeah,
and his fears.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because, you know, fear leads to anger.
And anger leads to hate.
And hate leads to suffering.
Yep.
And so I think that having the right mentor would have made a big difference in how he dealt with those fears. Moreover, he immediately saw Qui-Gon as an authority figure and didn't see Obi-Wan in the same light as an authority figure.
He always fought him.
And by the way, I want to say this has, I feel, interesting connotation to the way that things work in the world. If a child does not identify somebody as an authority figure, that person will never be able to reach that child in the same way. Right. And I've seen families where the grandparents of a family are way too involved with the family. They watch the kids too many times because the parents have, for whatever reason, have to do what they need to do. And the kids will sometimes see the grandparents treating their parents like children.
Yep.
And it's the same way that they're being treated. And the kids start to see their parents as on an equal level to them.
Yep.
Because the grandparent is the authority,
yep,
that has authority over both of them. And so the parents lose any power of authority because the kid doesn't see that they're anything different than they are. It's a delicate line to cross. I know it was something I recognized before I had kids, so I made sure to make it a point that nobody was seen as an authority over me whenever my kids were around.
Right.
Nobody.
Absolutely.
I was the only – and if somebody else was an authority over my kids understood that it was because I – gave that person the permission to be the authority over the kids,
right,
not because they were an authority over me so they could be an authority over my kids. And that goes all the way to teachers, other family members, my parents, my wife's parents. I made it very clear to all of them that the authority stops at me and my wife and doesn't go any further. And I have called out grandparents and great grandparents that have tried to be authorities to my kids while I'm sitting right there. And I've called them out and like, no, I'm right here. I can see it. If I want to say something, I'm going to say something. It's my kid. It's not your kid.
Yeah.
You are not the authority. And I've had them get mad at me. Well, you're undermining my authority. When it comes to my kid, you have none. You only have it with me. You know, whatever authority you have with my kid is what authority I give you. And I mean, look what happens. Anakin doesn't see Obi-Wan as an authority. He tries to kill him.
Yeah.
Loses some arms and some legs in the process and can't breathe right for the rest of his life. I mean, seriously. Know your authority figures.
Yeah.
But anyway. So I think we've come to the end of what we needed to say for the day. Again, I applaud this guy for going back over these different titles and trying to come up with his own version of them. I see his point.
Yeah, I do too. I think the takes are very interesting. I think they're worth taking a look at.
And the thing is, again, I like all the other titles. I think they fit. Rise of Skywalker still irks me a bit because they could have done something beautiful with having Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi. If it was Rise of the Skywalker and it did like I said, that would have been epically perfect.
That would have been amazing.
I just would have wept for joy. As it is, I still love all of them. I will watch them every year out of love for them. But hey, anytime we can get a new and interesting take on these things and maybe interest people in going into, I mean, I hope at some point I'm going to interest you enough for you to check out either the Rebels TV series or the Clone Wars TV series. I know you watch animated things, so I don't have to get you past the hurdle of animated stuff.
No.
But the richness that it adds, especially they just recently released a new the completion of the final season of Clone Wars, which never got completed years ago when Clone Wars got canceled. They did like half the episodes.
Uh-huh.
They finally completed all of the episodes, and it literally leads right up to Order 66.
Oh,
Order 66 happens in the last episode. Actually, in the last two episodes, Order 66 happens. And you find out how probably the most popular clone trooper ever, Rex.
Yeah.
You find out how Rex survives and deals with Order 66.
Whoa.
And how, because he appears in Rebels, which takes place well after.
Right.
He appears in Rebels and he survived Order 66. But, right. And he's not out, he's not trying to hunt down Jedi. You find out exactly how and why. And you also find out how Ahsoka Tano, who also appears in Rebels, how she survived Order 66. Because she's actually on a Star Destroyer. Well, actually, she's on a capital ship. They're not necessarily called Star Destroyers at that point.
Right.
But she's on a capital ship full of clone troopers when Order 66 happens.
Oh, man.
And she has to deal with being on a capital ship full of clone troopers all Whoa. Wanting to kill her because of Order 66. And the shit that goes down, oh my God.
Okay.
I was watching that episode like white knuckling. Like, I know she lives and I know Rex lives because I know these things. They're part of the Rebels thing.
Right,
so you know,
right.
They appear in Rebels, so you know that they live.
Right.
So there's not the danger of, oh my God, they're going to die. But no, it's what else is going to happen?
Right.
How are they going to live? How is this all going to work? Oh, is that what they're... Okay. Oh, crap. We haven't seen that one exactly before. We've seen similar, but yeah, okay. Whew.
That's cool.
So it's a trip, and it's worth watching, mainly because you also see the points leading up to with Anakin and Obi-Wan,
yeah.
where they're called back to Coruscant at the beginning of Episode 3 for the battle above Coruscant.
Uh-huh.
You see where they're out working, and then they get called back. And what's going on with Obi-Wan during that time? What's going on with Anakin during that time? And some of the background stuff leading up to all the things that fall apart in Episode 3. And it actually adds so much more richness and more flavor to what's going on. And yeah, it's, and it also takes Darth Maul, who again, didn't die in Episode 1, doesn't die until Rebels.
Right.
Or Obi-Wan finally finishes the job.
Right.
But, and there's even something about that fight. We'll talk about it at another point. That fight, if you actually pay attention to it, mirrors the fight that Darth Maul had with Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan uses that against Darth Maul. But anyway, Darth Maul actually becomes – he appears in the last couple of episodes, and he actually becomes an almost tragic figure because – basically, he expected that he was going to be what Anakin is being groomed to be, which was the Sith that helps take back over the galaxy.
Right.
Instead, he was just used as a tool to get Anakin closer. But that's what he thought he was going to be. So he's like, he hates Anakin because Anakin is daddy's favorite kid that he never was.
Right.
Seriously.
Dude.
There's a lot of pathos that comes into it. But anyway, people, watch yourself some Star Wars animated stuff. Get you a Disney
yeah.
Plus account. Watch all the cool Disney stuff that's on there, and watch some Star Wars animated stuff. Rich story, something for you to do while you're bored and sitting at home with still all of this craziness. And hey, the cool thing is the animated stuff, they are made kind of for kids. So if you have kids, you can watch them with your kids, and they won't be too overly traumatized. Might be a little still, but hey, we're all traumatized. Anyway, Mike. Where are people going to be listening to us?
Well, if you're listening to us right now, you could be on our website, thezenuchronicles.com, or it could be spelled zenchron.com, which is X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. You could also hear us on all the major podcast places you can go, you know, Google and Apple and TuneIn and all of those.
Spotify
as well, yeah.
Although I heard that Google might be changing the way that they do their podcasts. But,
oh, really?
I mean, that's only one place, and there's so many other places that you can
I was going to say, it'll go somewhere else, wherever Google puts us. You'll be available, and if you have this on your Google podcast right now, you're going to hear us over there as well. We've also got a YouTube page as well.
YouTube!
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on YouTube right now, playing the video in the background and doing whatever, go ahead and click the subscribe button if you can, or click a like button on this on the video as well if you actually dig on us. But please hit subscribe and hit that bell icon so next time we come out with another podcast, you will be notified. You can listen to us yak about random stuff all over again.
And while you're on YouTube, check out our podcast. Please also check out Ruling Note Music's YouTube page. Like and subscribe. That's Thank Mike you. Talking about music stuff. And then, I'm going to try to get this one right. The other YouTube page is Chronosode Games.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Chronosode Games is another YouTube page that Mike is doing with his wife. They are playing video games and discussing all of the intricacies of those video games. So again, if you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, check out those two as well, Ruling Note Music, Chronosode Games, so you can get a little bit more of Mike if you want it. I know he's a little weird, but hey, he does some interesting and fun stuff and also informative.
Well, thank
and we
you.
Like, you know, we like to keep things in the family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for the point, sir. One last thing.
Anytime, all the time. What? One more thing. What's the one more thing?
Follow us on our socials. Bonus. We are on Facebook and we are on.
Yes.
Are we on Instagram or are we on? No, we haven't done the Instagram yet.
Still working on the Instagram.
But we are on Twitter. At yes. Zenchron, spelled Xenchron. Go follow us there and you will find us.
And comment on anything you want. Comment on Facebook, we will respond.
Yes.
Comment on the YouTube videos, we will respond.
Absolutely.
Because we want to talk to you. We want to know what you think. We want to know what your feelings are. Share them with us. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you all for listening, and we will be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.